You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Asia New Zealand Foundation is welcoming National's plan to offer 10 languages to primary school students wanting to learn a second language. Party leader Bill English and education spokesperson Nikki Kay made the announcement as part of their $380 million education policy on Sunday. Asia New Zealand Foundation Executive Director Simon Draper says learning Asian languages at a young age is a good way for the country to engage overseas. I spoke to Draper earlier this morning and began by asking him why it was important for Kiwi kids to be, as he puts it, Asia savvy.
So the Asia New Zealand Foundation, our mandate is to help New Zealanders thrive in Asia, right? So we know that, you know, 8 of our 10 largest trading partners are Asian. Auckland, where BFM is, 20% of the population is Asian. And, you know, all the data, all the indications are that New Zealand's future, economically, culturally, socially, it's going to be having a lot more to do with Asia than it even is now. So if we want New Zealanders to thrive and take what advantage of what we think is the most exciting, dynamic, engaging part of the world, then they've got to have a few skills for that. And so we've been doing some research. How Asia ready are our students? You know, when they come out of secondary school, how confident do they feel about being able to engage with Asia? And there were two things. The first is that the data's not great because it says something like about 8% or less of New Zealand students coming out of school feel that they're Asia capable. But the second thing that was probably most worrying for us is that the trend line was going down. So when we did the survey 5 years ago, New Zealand school leavers, you know, year 12 and 13s, were feeling more able to engage, and currently they're less. So there was, you know, so I came from the New Zealand Foreign Ministry and sort of left there with a sense that New Zealand was pretty Asia savvy. And what we're finding in our reports is, you know, maybe it's not, we're not quite as savvy as we think we are. Over two-thirds, I think 67%, of New Zealand school kids felt that having Asia skills, you know, wasn't going to be helpful for them in their employment. Yet we know, speaking with business, that actually those are the sorts of skills they're looking for. So what we want is New Zealanders to take the, you know, there's this massive opportunity out there. How do they grab it? They've got to have some confidence. Asian language, but Asian knowledge generally is something that we think New Zealand kids are going to need now, and they're going to need more of in the future.
Does knowledge come through the language? I mean, we're mainly talking about teaching Asian languages here, aren't we?
Yep. So the way that the Asia New Zealand Foundation sees it is learning the language is like the gold standard, right? Some would argue that with Google Translate and those sorts of things, you're not going to need this. We disagree. Learning a language is much more than just the ability to communicate. Learning the language is knowing about the culture, the history. I'm a Korean speaker. I was part of the government's initiatives a few years ago. And what I know is Koreans think differently than I do. And that's reflected in the language. So language is like the gold standard. That's fantastic. But we don't need everyone to be fluent. But by going through the process of trying to learn the language, you learn a whole lot more about a country. You learn a whole lot more about the people, the way they think, and, you know, what's important to them and what's not important to them. And so we're very supportive of any initiative that exposes New Zealanders to, you know, cross-cultural competency. And language is a great way of doing that.
You guys have done research which shows that 80% of New Zealanders want kids to learn a second language, which is obviously a lot, but an almost identical number want te reo to be compulsory in schools. And so I'm wondering how you feel about balancing the two, because obviously if you're opening up all these other languages, there's not necessarily the priority given to, you know, te reo.
Yep. Look, the foundation doesn't see this as a zero-sum game. It's not one or the other from our perspective. We're supportive of learning any second language, whether it be te reo, Mandarin, or whatever. What we're interested in is how are New Zealanders going to thrive take advantage of the fantastic opportunities out there. What we know is that once you've learnt one second language, learning your third or fourth is actually much, much easier. 60 to 75% of the world is bi or trilingual. So it's not you know, Te Reo or Mandarin. It's Te Reo and Mandarin, or it's Te Reo and Japanese. We're supportive of any initiative that gets New Zealanders moving from monolingual to bi or trilingual.
Would you support compulsory languages in schools then?
The foundation doesn't. Our position on that is we don't want to get into the compulsion debate because, that then we'll go down quite a rabbit hole. Where we are is, if New Zealanders want to take advantage of their geography of being at the heart of the Asia Pacific, then the more they know about their Asian neighbours, the more successful they're going to be. And getting that sort of confidence. Part of our research says that 80% of New Zealanders say Asia's important, but 66% of New Zealanders say they know nothing about Asia. And that's the thing that bothers us. So how it's done, we don't really have a view on, but we are encouraging of any initiative that helps New Zealanders be more prepared than they are, because I think a lot of the public think that New Zealanders are pretty Asia savvy, and actually what the data tells us is that's not necessarily true.
Outside of languages, are there other initiatives you've seen or would like to see that would kind of help with this Asia readiness?
Yeah, so we have an education program where we're going around to schools and we're talking about, we're actually going to year 10, 11, 12 and talking about the food, the history, the New Zealand connectedness. We've got an initiative at the moment around sports. So for no other reason than rugby and the Olympics, a whole lot of New Zealanders are going to be interested in Japan over the coming years. So we're using, you know, if the language of many New Zealanders is sports, how can we use sport as a way of encouraging New Zealanders just to get that confidence and get that understanding? We did a great session with some young women from St. Mary's College here in Wellington who are heading off to a rugby tournament in Japan, and they didn't know that if, you know, showing tattoos in a public spa would cause offence, and they really wanted to go there and represent New Zealand, and they had, actually this is where the Te Reo was really fantastic because it gave them confidence in their own culture, but also they wanted to be good guests, and so using sport as a way of introducing some Japanese, in this case, you know, norms and cross-cultural understanding was fantastic. And they went on to win the competition, for which we don't claim credit. But we do feel that they were, you know, they went to Japan confident. And I personally don't believe that 67% of New Zealanders don't know anything about Asia. I just think they don't have the confidence. So so we've got an education program, we've got a culture program. We take artists to do residencies in places like Yogyakarta or Bangkok, or we've got business internships, which actually we advertise up in Auckland University. Young New Zealanders, 3, 6, 9 months working in an Asian firm that we help fund and do pastoral care. These are all things to, you know, the foundation's quite an experiential organisation. We try to give young New Zealanders the opportunity to experience Asia and then come back and sort of get that confidence where we think it will be a great launching pad for the rest of their careers. And you know, our geography's not going to change, and we at the foundation wouldn't want it to change anyhow, because we just think we're so fortunate at the moment to be situated where we are at such an exciting part of the world.
Just finally, I mean, obviously we're going into an election very soon, and that you've come out in support of Nationals policy with their language program for primary schools. But I mean, is that the best thing you've seen as far as promoting this Asia readiness? Where do you stand in terms of who is offering what?
Yeah, sure. So the foundation is a non-partisan non-profit. We're a charity. So, but being non-partisan doesn't mean you don't support good policy when you see it. So we would welcome any other political party that is saying, you know, the learning of languages is important for the future of New Zealand. And so we don't care where the policy comes from. It's something that we've been arguing for 22 years since the foundation has been established. And we were very pleased to see that the Leader of the Opposition said this was a policy worth looking at. So so we're commenting on the policy. We think getting languages into primary schools is a great initiative and is something we support. We don't care where the initiative comes from, we just think it's a good one, and we would encourage all political parties to look at how do we equip New Zealanders to thrive in the Asia century, because that's what the foundation is set up to do. So we don't care where the policy comes from, but we have been banging on for a long time as an organisation. I mean, there is no national languages policy in New Zealand, right? So anything that says learning a language is going to help New Zealanders in a global marketplace, in a place where Asia is becoming, you know, central to our future, is a good thing. So so we're conscious it's election period, but when there's policy that comes out that you've been banging on for 22 years, then we're going to be supportive of it.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.